أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah that we have read, and everyone here knows, and is well aware of this chapter of the Quran, in which Allah says, I swear by time, wal asr. I swear by time, innal insana lafi khusr. Insan is in loss. Man is in loss. Human beings are in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا except those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and those who do righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ and those who enjoin towards the truth. Haq. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ and those who enjoin towards sabr. He swears by time that insan is in loss, meaning that time is a witness of man's loss. And as he lives his life, he is heading towards a loss. The issue, again, and just as a reminder for everyone, is about the fact that Allah speaks about success and loss in this chapter. Right? He begins with success, he begins with loss, and then ends with success. He speaks of loss, and thereafter he speaks about success. He does not say who is successful and then say who is in loss. He speaks about success after loss. So in other words, when we see the word illa, that is in between, we need to recognize what it means. You see, the word illa, or except in English, is used for certain things in Arabic as well as other languages also. For example, whenever illah comes, then there is a statement that comes before illah and a statement that comes after illah. And when we see, when you want to speak about something and you use illah and you use this method of speaking and say that this happened except for this, whatever. When except is used, when illa is used, there are certain reasons why it's used. One of the reasons is to denote that what comes before is more and what comes after is less. You know, for example, you use exceptions when, for example, you say, all the people came except for so-and-so. You see? Meaning, the ones who came are more than the ones who didn't come. That's why those who are more are spoken of before illah, and those who are less are spoken of after illah. You see? And if you see that most of the people didn't come, so you don't say, this brother and this brother came except for all of them. it won't make sense. In any language, it won't make sense. You see, this is a principle of exception. When you want to make an exception, the exception is always less, and what comes before the exception is always more. In other words, Allah, when it comes in between, before Allah is the majority, after Allah is the minority. Right? The majority is before Allah. Minority is after Allah. That's why Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All of man is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who believe and do good deeds. In other words, before Allah is the majority. After Allah is the minority. This is one reason Allah is used. Now another reason for Allah to be used, Allah, and we have this as the creed of Islam, Allah says, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha and illallah. This is what we say to become Muslim. In other words, you see that Allah is used. Before Allah is batil. After Allah is haq. Haq comes after Allah. Batil comes before Allah. Because haq is not the norm, it is the exception. The truth is not the norm, it is the exception. Most people are in loss. Most people are on La Ilaha. Those who are with Allah are few. In other words, now you see there are two reasons I've just said why Allah is used here. One is to denote that before Allah is majority, after Allah is minority. Before Allah is batil, after Allah is haq. And now when you see one more ayat I'll give you, and you understand what is it, you know, from what I have just explained to you. قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمُوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. There is no ajr before Allah. That is the majority and the batil. And all of love is after Allah, which is the minority and is the truth. See that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So when we look at this illah, here Allah speaks about this illah and He wants to tell us now that most of the people are, insan is in loss. Insan itself is in loss. And then after Allah, you see, are those who are successful. Right? Now, when we speak about success, and this is something that we really need to truly understand. Friends, this is something that is not just to be put in words, but it is to be really put in practice. Success, when dunya speaks of success, it looks at success between iman and kufr and says that if you want to be successful, then it's easier to be successful upon kufr, not upon Islam. You know, if you want to be successful, then you need to avoid Islam. Because most Muslims, in fact the leaders of Muslims, when we looked at the leaders of Muslims in the history of mankind, we didn't see them as successful. We saw them as poor. We saw them as people of lesser means, simple lives. And they weren't those people who had vast bank balances and vast means to do things. Did not have extravagant lives. Look at the Anbiya. They were always poor. They were either shepherds or they were, you know, some sort of, you know, small business, right? Just trying to make it through. And when we looked at Kufr, we saw Fir'aun, we saw Namrud, we saw Harun, you know, Hamari. Yeah, you can have the names, right? And you see their homes are bigger. Their homes are bigger. Their wealth is more. Their harems are bigger. I mean, here you saw these examples. So they're saying if you want to be successful, then, you know, kufr is the way to be. Yes, if you don't want success, then obviously, you know, there are many people, you know, who will choose anything. Right? There are many religions out there. You can choose any one of them. The issue, my friends, is this, you know, the idea of success, right, needs to be rectified. The idea of success needs to be rectified what it is. You see, when Allah speaks about success here, He does not say that all businessmen are in loss. See, He doesn't say about businessmen. He didn't say all doctors are in loss. He didn't say that all workers are in loss. You see, He did not speak about you being a businessman. He did not speak about you being a worker. He did not speak about you being anything that you do in life. The subject of His talk and the subject of His declaration is insan. Not you being a doctor or a businessman or anything that you become in life. What is success of you being insan? You being a human being, what is success? You see, having something else. See, when you came in this world, you didn't come as a businessman wearing a tie and a briefcase. You didn't come as a doctor with a stethoscope in your ear. You didn't come with anything else, but you came as insan. See, when you leave also, you will leave as insan. You see? So now this journey you just made from the birth as insan to death as insan, what did you gain? How did you succeed? You see, everything you gain in this world, you left it behind. So you cannot say you're successful because you left behind $1 billion. You know? So what's your success, you know, if you're asked after you die? So what's your success? You know, I left behind $1 billion. I mean, they'll say you're dumb. Right? You left behind $1 billion. I mean, it's like, for example, you move from one place to another place. If you go to the new place, they say, well, what did you leave behind? He said, you know, I left behind a mansion and I left behind $1 billion. He said, for what? Why did you bring it here? It's not for here. You see? So, what's the success in that? You left behind everything. You had many children, you left them behind. So what is success? As insan, how did you succeed? As insan, how did you succeed? This is the subject of Allah's talk. Right? This is the subject. He's saying all of that you gain in this world here, that cannot be counted as being success for insan. That's something different than insan. That is something different than insan. What is success here? So here, Allah says, you came here to this world. Recognize this. You know? Now at first He mentions these four things. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Those who believe, do good deeds, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ Who enjoin each other to truth, وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ Who enjoin each other to sabr. You see? And we read this every day in prayer. And we repeat this every day in prayer. But I want you to understand what we are saying. You see, insan, when he came to this world, he came as insan. You know, as I said, he did not bring a briefcase and he did not bring anything else with him. What is it that he brought with him? What did he have when he came into this world? When he came into this world, when he was born, what did he came with? You see, there are three things he was born with, that he came into this world with. Three things. Two things are real, one thing is not real. There are two things that are real. In other words, they are what makes him inside. There are one thing that is not real, but he came with that. You see, my friends, and you know, we know this. The two things that are real in him that he came with is his ruh and his jism. His soul and his body. These are the two things he came with in this world. He came with his soul and he came with his body. These two things he came with. And these two things make him insan, what he is called insan, the ruh and jism. They both are together. One is hidden, one is apparent. One is invisible, one is visible. Now, when we see which one of these two, the soul or the body, is dependent on which, that also is understood. We know that the body is dependent on the soul. You see that? The body is dependent on the soul. You see, as I go along, just this one point I'm making so that we understand something and I don't miss this point, and you all don't miss this point while I go forward. See, the ruh and jism, he came with two things, body and soul. That's what you're born with. And especially for my youngsters here, for them to understand what this is. You came with two things. You came with a soul and you came with a body. Right? And hence, we need to have everyone know what they have in themselves. You have a soul and you have a body. Two things you came with. So now when you came with these two things, which is dependent on which? Right? The body is dependent on the ruh. You see, now I want to give an example. If you come and tell me that such and such person is dead, like for example, Mr. Umar is dead, which he is. So now what happens is that I say, where? He's gone, he's dead. Let me see this. So we went there and we saw Umar lying down. And we said, Mr. Umar is here. I mean, he's here, he's right here. What do you mean he's dead, he's gone? He's gone. I said, but he's right there. His face is there, his hands are there, his feet are there. What do you mean he's dead? He's not gone, he's here. The same way I saw him yesterday, it's the same way I'm seeing him today. I see the same face, I used to see the same hand, the same body and everything. He said, you know, this is his body, he has left. You see that? This is his body, he has left. You see that? And in other words, what was he, or that person that is called Umar? He is dead. Emphasize, he is dead, meaning that he was that ruh that went away. What was left behind was the body. You see, understand the example. Why is this given? So that everyone can see themselves and know that they have two things. One that is hidden, one that is apparent. One that they can't see, one that they can see. And realize from what themselves, and looking at themselves, and analyzing themselves, that they are made of two things. One that they can see, one that they can't see, and know that what they can see is depending on what they cannot see. What they can see is depending on what they cannot see. Allah put this argument in their own self to recognize that what you are seeing in this universe is depending on something that you are not able to see. You see that Allah put this example within ourselves to know this. So that when we look at this universe, just like what we see in ourselves is depending on what we cannot see, this dunya, this universe has a rule also that is giving it its life. And just like that, we see what we see is depending on what we cannot see. This universe is depending on that Allah that we cannot see. That means
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So in other words, my friends, so here we came with these two things. These are real. Now we also came with a third thing. We came with a third thing also. You know, that is not real. In other words, it doesn't make us a human being. But we did come with that. You see, when we were born, we have jism, we have ruh. This is two things. There's another thing. And that is, we came in a web of relationships. When you are born, you are born as a son of a father or a mother. And a mother. You have a brother, you have sister, you have uncle, you have all kinds of people. You're born into that. I mean, no one is born like Adam. He's the only one who's Adam. Right? When he's born, then there's no one there. Right? There's no one there. That's why the only relationship he had was with Allah. Right? I mean, you know, he had no one to love but Allah. So you can imagine how much he loved Allah. You know, you are my whole and soul. I have no one else to love. Right? I have no one else to love but you. See, understand that? So now what happens? When we are born with relationships. You see that? We are born with relationships. You are my father or mother. Everyone is born in this family. We don't have a choice in that. You know, who's going to become our father? We are placed in there by Allah. And hence we have these relationships. You see, that we are born into. This is the third thing we bring with us. These relationships. You see that? Three things we came with. We came with a ruh, a soul. We came with jism, that is a body. And we came with these relationships. Now, for insan to succeed, he brought these three things, and he must succeed in these three things. He must be successful in these three things. He must make the ruh stronger. He must make the jism stronger. He must make these relationships stronger. So Allah said that, listen, the best thing for the ruh is iman. The best thing for jism and body is amal. Amal as-salihat. And the best thing for relationship is haq and sabr. In other words, the ruh becomes strong when it has iman. The jism becomes strong when it has amal as-salihat. And the relationships become strong when they are based upon the truth. If the ruh doesn't have iman, it will lose. If the jism doesn't have amal as-salihat, it will lose. And if the relationships are not based on truth and sabr, then they will also lose. And that insan will lose who makes relationships on batil. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. In other words, Allah says the secret of success of insan is in the three things he brought. The root, jism, and relationships. He said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe, this is for the root. وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have amal salihat, this is for the jism and body. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and enjoying each other towards the truth, this is for the relationships.
That's true.
Those relationships that you make in this life, it must be based on the truth. Do not base it on batil. Because if you base it on batil, those relationships will take you to hell. Make those relationships based on truth. So now, when Allah says that you must have iman for the ruh and amal salihat for the jism and haq for your relationships. So now when it came time to choose, we chose relationships over haq. When you look at the lives of people, and when the choice is there between either keep up your relationship and ignore the truth, or cut off your relationship and stick with the truth. So people will say, listen, what can we do? We know my relative is bad, but still he's my relative. I have to keep relationship. I have to keep a relationship with him. The nation, the country I live in is zalim. What can I do? They're zalim. But I have to keep relationship with them. I have to keep my relations with them. I have to keep my attachment with them. In other words, we have decided that we will keep the relationships, maintain relationships, and ignore the truth, and ignore Islam, and ignore the deen. In other words, for us, religion has become so cheap that it can be compromised for anything, even when it comes to relationships. You know, he's my cousin, I can't break out my relationship with him. You know, even though he does haram, even though he's wrong, even though he's zalim, even though he's bad, but I'm going to maintain those relationships. Right? This is only deen. This is only the truth. My friends, Allah is saying, no. If you understand, if you know, if you want success, and success in the hereafter, and success as a human being, and success in the eyes of Allah, then the relationships that you have, that you were born with, you must maintain those relationships based upon truth, not based upon batil. Do not maintain your relationships based upon batil. Because if you maintain your relationships on batil, then you will see that it will pull you towards the hellfire, and that loss is in your book. If you want to be successful, then always make the truth more important than any relationships. Remember one thing, you were put by Allah in these relationships. So the very person who's putting you there, you are forsaking him for these relationships. He is the one who put you there. He put you in this family. You are now forsaking Allah for your family. Can you not understand who's more important? Allah is the one who put you there in the family. So if he didn't put you there, they wouldn't be your family.
Right, right.
If we put you in another family, you wouldn't care about them. So the very person who's putting you in that family and making that relationship, you are going to forsake him and cut off relationship with him to maintain relationship with that. You see, my friends, understand, Islam is saying that when relationships are considered, when you have relationships, then understand that it should be based on truth. It should not be based on batil. Do not make it on batil. And this is what he told the Prophet, Ya Rasulallah, you show them how it's done. You show them how it's done. It's your own blood relative. It's your own uncle. It's your own blood. And who doesn't love their uncle? Your own uncle, your blood relationship. Your own uncle, but declare to him, because he is batil, tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.
He is your own uncle. He is your own blood relative. But tell everyone, I cut my relationship with him because he's batil. I cut my relationship with him because he is wrong. I cut my relationship with him because he's a kafir. This is what Rasulullah is. And when a complete stranger comes to you, complete foreigner comes to you, then you declare to the world, Salman minna ahlul bayt. Salman is from us, ahlul bayt.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Salman is a complete stranger, no relationship to you, but because his relationship is based on love, make him a part of your family. Make him a part of your family. Now you see, this is how Allah is teaching us, that relationships are based on truth. Right? The truth is not conformed to relationships. The truth is not cut off from relationship. We don't compromise the truth. We will compromise relationship. We will say we cannot have relations with you. As long as you keep up this, we cannot have relationships with you. We will tell them that. But we will not forsake Allah and His deen and His cause for the sake of relationship. This is how Allah has taught in Surah Al-Asr. That it is three things as insan you came with, and these three things you need to improve. One is your ruh, your jism, and your relationships. Your ruh is improved through iman, your jism is improved through amal al-salihah, and your relationships are based upon the truth and sabr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhir al-da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.